Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, a love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started with another version of Summer Madness. This is Richard Elliott, right here on The Love Journey with Janine and Ingram.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Richard Elliott, Summer Madness, right here on The Love Journey. Good morning, family. Yeah. Your girl been up early. And let me just tell you what's so interesting. I was thinking about E equals MC squared. Energy equals MC squared. And what is MC squared? Mass times the speed of light. And so I was thinking this morning, I got asked this question. She said, Janine, you keep telling me that everything that's happening in my relationship is a reflection of me, and I don't understand, and it don't make sense because I didn't. So I started thinking about energy. So I woke up and I'm just reading the relative law of energy, right? And I started really thinking about this thing, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, MC squared. So not only is energy equal mass, and mass is this body of formless particles. That's basically what mass is, right? And speed of light squared. So if our energy sends out is what energy does. Energy is what we send out. And so when we, even at rest, our body sends out energy. And so when we think about the energy we're sending out, we're sending out this formless energy times the speed of light squared. So if you take 2 and square it, 2 times itself is double, right? So I was thinking about this thing. I was like, wow. So if I think, if my energy coming from what I'm sending out not good enough, not only am I sending out not good enough in this form, this energy, but I'm sending it out and it's coming back to me squared, squared. But if I'm sending out these wonderful also of how I am more than enough, I'm sending it out in this form, this energy times the speed of light squared, and I'm receiving it back. I was like, God is so amazing. I'm probably going to, you know, y'all probably like, what is this girl talking about, right? Anyway, let's get right into, I said that to say just how amazing God is. I said that to say how amazing God is. Because God don't give us back what we sent out, but we get it multiplied, double, and amplify. So I get to choose what I want to get back by what I sent out, right? Yeah. This is Janine's and her random thoughts. Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get ready and go within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit known by many, 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 many names. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit, this powerful energy, energy that sends back to us, multiplied, pressed down, as God. The good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so in this right now moment, I want you to turn within and become very intentional about the breath. Because there's power in the breath realm. Be still and know that I am God. There is power in the breath. So right now, I just want you to become very intentional about the breath by taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, family. There is power in the breath. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. Yes. So together, family, as we enter into the presence of this creative, powerful energy, I want you to just become still and invite the energy of forgiveness and love and gratitude into your space right now. And I just want you to be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And then release. Let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness, I forgive, I release, and I let go.
Day 1, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in and release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable for every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body. allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Give, I release, and I let go. At this point in my life, I just want to have fun, and I want to be free. Spiritually, I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us, so we never have to worry and shed a tear. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.
Sleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love and no one can take her love away.
Ooh, love wakes me up every day. I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love and no one can take his love away.
I wanna be loved. There's nothing better than love. What in the world could by far, so let yourself reach for that star and go no matter how far to the one you love, to love.
And I mean all these words I say, and you don't have to guess what's going on inside my head.
Try to know all the things that our hearts say. Listen to love and always give love to lead the way. I wanna be loved.
There's nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of?
Family, we're going to get started with the science of the mind. Science of mind. Today's is called paralysis of analysis. Elizabeth Musser once said, thinking too much just brings it back to me, me, me. Let me say that again. Thinking too much just brings it right back to me, me, me. Ernest Holmes, in a book called This Thing Called You, said there's something within you beyond all doubt and fear, something which has never limited by your acts or destroyed by your feelings. You see, when one suffers from a cold and congestion, there's a system we use to facilitate the cold in running its course. We rest, we drink fluids, we may even alter our diet, might take a medicinal agent. No one questions such a system, and many rely on it to return to wellness. Is there also a system to use when one suffers from the congestion of overthinking? Overthinking is a universal challenge that causes many to become paralyzed around decision-making. Overthinking is a universal challenge that causes many to become paralyzed around decision-making. We fear making the wrong choice, so we stall taking action due to over-analyzing, over-analyzing what could happen if we were to make a flawed choice. It clouds our judgment, promotes anxiety, and prevents us from moving forward by chaining us to heightened negative scenarios. Overthinking is the art of creating problems that aren't even there. A system for relieving mental congestion caused by overthinking starts with the awareness. Being aware that I'm suffering from the paralysis of analysis allows me to redirect my thoughts towards all the things that could go right. You see, the root of overthinking is usually fear. So I uproot this primal energy by changing my mental loyalty. I imagine the yet-to-be-seen benefits and blessings that await. I consider how a misstep does not need to carry on into the present. Come on, family. I eliminate overthinking congestion by using tools such as timers that allow me to create boundaries. For 5 minutes, I will allow myself to work. For 10 minutes, I will allow myself to live in the dream state of possibility. 5 minutes, I will go back to work. For another 10 minutes, I will return to mental expansion. I alternate this therapeutic hot and cold exercise and realize the heat of possibility feels much more enjoyable. You see, I make gratitude lists about my life, my talents, and my accomplishments in order to clear blockages caused by self-doubt and personal criticism. Wow, my mind is fluid and free. 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 Good morning, family. That was the reading of The Science of the Mind. Wow, The Science of Mind. Mind-boggling. You know, overthinking. That's an interesting thought. I'm a big thinker. Thoughts come in my head, and sometimes even when people pose questions, like, so I get this question in the middle of the morning. I don't know. I think relationships is the biggest thing people really want to understand more than anything. I think more than even wanting to have lots of money, I think people would rather have love and relationships. In a time where cosmetic surgery is a $1 billion industry and people think having big this or big that, you know, big breasts, big booties, big hips, or less booty, less hip, you know, whatever our process is, you know, I see many women who go get reduction. I see many people who get increase. But most times the increase or the reduction is not based on just an idea of wanting to enhance, but most times is coming from a place of not feeling good enough. And so in a question that came over the text this morning about not understanding why she keep meeting the same men and over again, find herself in the same process, I thought about questioning why. Do that same question comes up. And I don't know why. I hadn't thought many times, even when I first heard that I meet no one but myself, I thought many times, something got to be wrong with that state. If everything is a reflection of me, something got to be wrong. Because lots of times I couldn't see myself in a reflection. I couldn't see how I invited this into my energy. How could I have invited this into my space? So we weren't talking, but she was sending like lots of texts. I guess she had random thoughts going through her mind, and I just read them. One of them is her physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse that seemed to continue in each relationship that she continues to find herself in. And the constant is her, even though she can't see how she invited in her space. And I'm clear that she didn't go out and say, I want a man that's going to beat me, verbally abuse me, and physically abuse me. I'm sure that wasn't the words that came out of her mouth when she was looking to date someone. But yet, how can you be in 4 marriages or 4 relationships? All 4 do the same exact thing in one way or the other. And so I start thinking about this question. So she started telling me how beautiful she was, and she is a beautiful girl, physically beautiful. I don't know her personally, but, you know, she sent me pictures, and, you know, I'm assuming she's probably even beautiful on the inside, too. Definitely a beautiful girl on the outside. I mean, definitely, you know, on the outside looking in, physically, she has this amazing body. So when she started focusing in on that, I just, let her text. But what if I told you that it's not the physical that really inspires the masculine energy? I know you said that's some mind-boggling stuff, right? Thinking that, you know, we're all physically attracted to beauty. It all makes us look. And I know beauty magazines and other media outlets have sold us a lie about the feminine and the round, bouncy breasts, snatch waist, apple bottoms. Now, of course, men are attracted to beautiful women. Women are attracted to beautiful men. He may even lose sense of time and feeling in his toes. We've been known to hypnotize men with our beauty and sensuality. But what really triggers the level of adoration and truly the worship that inspires men to build, provide, and protect? What's the state that makes loving and being of service to women and children the priority? And yes, all the beautiful physical things that we have, breasts, booty, all that stuff, it attracts lust and all that. But do it really decode what really attracts what it is that we desire? You see, when we really get into a position and formation of who we are as women and men, we really create communities and clean and safe environments, efficient schools and learning systems, creative and artistic. We create an elevated status. We create a detailed plan for economic, spiritual, and social elevation. But it's not our physical body that inspires that quantum ignition. That ignites, that ignition, that thing that ignites us. See, we got to start digging deeper and unplug from this predictable paradigm that undermines what it is we truly attract. We got to awaken that brave soul that's been sleeping inside us for years and existing in a barren state. We got to stop allowing this external world to affect our sense of what beauty and attractiveness and really what relationship is all about. We got to wake up. Become bold enough to affect the external just by being us. We got to crack open our hearts and allow it to feel and allow it to heal and allow it to love and allow it to decide what lives and what must die. Oh, so much stuff must die. The way we think, how we love, how we see ourselves, and how we choose to be loved. That's really the revolution. How we choose to be loved and worship as divinities, as divine women and men. We got to stop getting tricked to settle for sexual enticement and gratification from the neck down stimulation. Oh, haven't you been there and done that? We got to start to reveal and express our openness and wisdom to our feminine genius and sustain ourselves with our masculine presence. See, then that's when you influence the entire community with your heart and soul. That's when women, men will bow at your feet. Creation certainly will happen. When we step into our organic feminine energy by healing our daddy wounds, our mother wounds, we only settle for what we feel we deserve.
And a lot of times, our fathers are responsible for transferring that information. Yes, daddy either did their job or not, but if you're not attracting the type of men, high voltage type men, like Spirit of Limit say, functioning with your body, sex, and money, if you're fearful of showing up authentically, most of the time, the daddy wound is what's attracting the men in our lives. And even our mother wounds. Yep, the mother wound and the father wound. But what's really interesting about this whole game, is we will attract in our relationships the one we need to heal from the most. I want you to think about that. The end game can be really epic when we step into our truth and our authenticity. And whether we want to believe it in our women, I still hear women talking, men, the masculine energy is expanding. Just like the feminine energy is rising, the masculine energy is expanding. Who knows the third law of physics? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We can't rise as women without the men rising. Not that we have to do anything. It's just the law of physics. It's the law of the universe. It's the law of energy. For every, this is the third law of thermodynamics, physics. If you took physics, you know it's the third law. But every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if feminine presence is rising, if we're shedding the thick layers of deception and what the feminine really is, embracing the fullness of our beauty and our power, well, that's only half of the equation, right? If the feminine is rising, drum roll, the masculine is expanding. Can you see how profound this universe is? I woke up thinking about E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. So if I'm energy, and I only can meet myself, but I want you to know we're not even only meeting ourselves, we're meeting ourselves squared. Thing blew me away this morning. If energy equals MC squared, mass meaning anything formless, thought times the speed of light. Now, speed of light at one time in 1905, Albert Einstein discovered that speed of light was the fastest process in the universe. But over time in the medical journal, I come to read that what's faster than the speed of light is the speed of thought. The speed of thought. They said that the speed of light was the fastest because there was no mass. Well, think about thought. Thought is faster than light? Oh, my God. So if energy equals MC squared and thought being the fastest energy in the universe that moves through the universe faster than light, thought, think about what you're sending out into the universe and what you're getting back squared. Can you see how profound that thought is? I'm just telling you what the law of physics say. So if we take energy, U, energy only equals energy. Really, energy equals energy squared. Energy equals energy squared because everything is energy. So anything that we send out, we get back squared. So you, your thought, and thought being the fastest process in the universe, right? Because the speed of, at one time they thought speed of light was the fastest. But now they've come to find out that thought is even faster than light. Can move through the universe faster than light. I just want you to marinate on this. So you want to know why you keep meeting yourself. Why? How is it that you find yourself in a relationship and you and I keep telling you this is a reflection of you and it keeps being a reflection of you, but you can't see it. I'm just telling you from physics perspective now. Now I'm going to break it down into, I wish I could just like show you on paper, like, you know, then I think it might be easier. But okay, so I'm going to show you. You are energy. Everything about you is energy. Everything. Everything you send out signals. So I'm going to give you an example of why we talk about the physical. So we talk about the physical body. You go get all this cosmetic surgery. Now, I have 5 friends who got cosmetic surgery. They were beautiful girls even before they had cosmetic surgery. And I'm not against, I just want to be real clear, I'm not against cosmetic surgery. People should do whatever makes them happy. But my point is, I want to talk about the energy behind the reasons why we do what we do. So all 5 of my friends who got the cosmetic surgery, they were beautiful girls before, and they just enhanced their body with more beauty or whatever, right? And I'm sure in my mind, this is me, I'm sure they did this because we, you know, we naturally want to be attractive to the opposite sex. We want, or whatever we like, whether it's the same sex or us, I'm not either there or this. It's just about wanting to attract who it is we want, right? And now it's been so 5 years and not one of them have changed their marital or relationship status. That's my point. They have not changed their relationship or marital status. Now, I'm sure they may be having fun with their body or whatever, but they haven't changed their marital or relationship status. Why? Because it's energy. When we take all 5 of these beautiful, amazing, when I tell you beautiful and amazing, drop-dead gorgeous, make a woman and a man turn head, but they don't have what they want in terms of relationship, you have to think, it's got to be something more than just the physical that attracts people in our life and maintaining and holding people in our lives. It's something more than just the physical. And so I want you to really walk with me through this. And I'm saying this because most people had the same question, even if they never asked it. And I want you to just marinate on this a lot. My money blocks and relationship blocks. And money blocks and relationship blocks are tied to the wounded space in us, our low self-esteem paradigm. And usually people in relationship blocks usually have pretty much money blocks too. Very seldom it's not the same process. Why? Because relationships, sex, money all come from the same chakra system, chakra space. And it's all tied to the same low self-esteem paradigm. To really stop breaking our own hearts and acknowledging and expressing the pain, the guilt, the shame, and stuff, and start to uproot, unplug from that outdated, limited program that houses the wound. Then we can change what we're experiencing in our life. So it's more than just what we think. You know, people say you change your thoughts, you change your life. That's just the beginning process. Because it's all about energy. Everything is connected. Money, passion, desire, sex, relationship, and expansion comes from all about how we see ourselves. You see, when we begin to shift how we see ourselves in love, business, and life. No more longing, no more settling, no more allowing your heart to break, going into a job that robs your energy, your chi, no more reacting, no more limitations, because you are the username, the password, the hacker to regain your power. Let me say that again. You are the username, the password, and the hacker to regain your power. You have to step into that sacred space by allowing the unfolding to bend your mind and mend your heart. That's why I'm so good at what I do. I'm so good at what I do because it's my gift. I'm in my sweet spot. I'm doing what I love, and love is an energy. And when you love what you're doing and the energy is flowing, you can't be anything but good. And it just looks so easy and elegant. You know what I'm saying? I don't force people to even use my services. I don't force people to do anything because it's not about efforting. It's not about forcing. See, the feminine energy is all about what? Receiving. And most of us have not learned how to open ourselves to receive. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Masculine and feminine energy lives in all of us. She was upset this morning because her so-called man left her to go be with his ex-girlfriend. According to him, she said, I couldn't feel her shoes. He always let me know that I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't sexy enough. My P-U-S-S-Y wasn't tight enough. I was too square. I wasn't even skinny enough. I wasn't what he wanted. After a while, I was simply numb and gutted because I was playing a high stink game of him. And so I read that. And what was really coming through is one thing. Somewhere in her own energy, she wasn't good enough. Somewhere in her own energy, she wasn't good enough. She was playing what I call a high-stake game of energy. I asked her, was she ready to end her womb contract? See, we make contracts with our wounds, you know, W-O-U-N-D, our wound, the wounds that we have, those scars that we have. See, it was easy to figure out why she wasn't good enough in her own mind. But she didn't understand that she was playing a high-stake game of energy. Energy. I'm not good enough. This wasn't this. I'm not sexy enough. I'm what's not this. And the same things that he was repeating to her was things that I'm sure she felt about herself, because he wouldn't have told her, or even those expressions when they came out or even affected or triggered her, if that wasn't somewhere in her own thought process. You see, this high-stake game of energy requires gut-wrenching self-inquiry. And I'm sure many of us played the reaction, blame, shame game. But guess what? That doesn't elevate us. You see, when we gain clarity into why this relationship is in my space and what has it come to serve me, that's when the decision in my life became extremely profitable. When I received that jarring clarity as to why I had been in that relationship that didn't honor me, that I made this wound contract because I was attracting from my wound space, my W-O-U-N-D space, my wounds, my scar space, not from an elevated space. And I bet you a dime to a donut, when we get to have a conversation, somewhere in her childhood, she wanted her daddy's attention, most likely her daddy, her mom, and she was overlooked or neglected in her own mind. That doesn't mean that's the true story, but it's the true story because that's the story that she told herself. See, sometimes it's not necessarily our dad didn't give us the attention. Our dad didn't give us the attention the way we wanted it. And so we say, we tell ourselves this story and we begin to live it. And then these stories that we tell ourselves, we begin to try to figure out why we're not enough for something. And then it begins to fester and it undermines our confidence, our radiance, and our sense of self-esteem. And when we face it boldly, fiercely, and lovely, that's when the bridge of pain and suffering begins to turn into our light. It begins to destroy the lies that we used to create, bitterness and unworthiness and unloving connection. But pain is good because it opens us up in a profound way if we allow it to. See, it was my pain that allowed me to cultivate my goddess energy, my sexual energy, my beauty energy, my orgasmic energy, the part of me that vibrates and radiates and magnetizes things that I desire. Am I totally where I want to be? No, I still got lots of work. But I understand the tools and the clarity to transcend and access my own power. Well, I don't have to fight with my wounds and create contracts to attract people to remind me of those wounds. I can welcome pleasure and love with ease with my feminine essence. I can shape shift out of toxic energy and wound-based contracts. I can expect soul-level connections. And I can turn on my feminine essence to accelerate my money, my love, and my business goals. I can access freedom and calm just by simply being me and honoring the gift that I am. And so when you keep asking the same question, and it don't bother me. Be clear, it doesn't bother me that you ask the same question over and over again, because it was a question for years to me too. When I first heard that I was attracting myself, that everything was a reflection of me, I couldn't see it either. For a long time, I couldn't see how Britain was a reflection of me. I could not see it. I really couldn't. So you're questioning the same question doesn't bother me. I love that you have this same question. It lets me know that you're thinking about it. It lets me know that you're truly thinking about it. And I want you to know that every time we go over this, it's going to get better and better. Because one day, you're going to get it. Because one day, I got it. All the times that we've been attracting things, or things have triggered us, because typically we choose a mate with similar traits of the parent we have the most issues with. That's one of the things I want you to think about. Typically, we choose a mate with similar traits of the parents we have the most issues with. They trigger you so that you become conscious of the internal pain, which is your power. Let me say that again. I want you to really get this. It's interesting. I had five sisters on this call. They all had the same mom and dad. They all were in abusive relationships. But if I asked each one of them the question, they all said they had a phenomenal mom and dad, which I'm sure they did. But something in there, how could five sisters all attract men who was kicking their butt for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm talking about some beautiful, all of them was beautiful sisters. Chocolate, beautiful, amazing, bright sisters. They were all on this line. But they all had emotionally, physically abusive men in their lives. And when I asked them about the father was in the home. And it wasn't until later on, one of the sisters finally broke down and said they saw their father being abusive to their mother. I knew it, but none of them would admit it. It wasn't until later on. Can't have five sisters coming from the same household and tell me that your father was this amazing. And I'm not saying he wasn't an amazing man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming nobody. We choose the relationships we want to be in, and we choose to stay in them. And we all come to this thing to learn. But I knew I would have bet $1 million on it. And nobody would admit it. It wasn't until later, deeper into one kept coming back for the service, transformation service, because she didn't want to live like that no more. And she finally broke down. And I said to myself, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Five sisters, all in the same type of relationship. But they had nothing but high esteem for their father. They was daddy's girls. You let them tell it. I'm going to say this again to you right now. Now, that doesn't mean that. Now, let me just say this to you, because I don't want everybody to go around thinking we had bad mothers and fathers. That doesn't mean we all had bad mothers and fathers just because we choose. But what happens is we choose typically a mate that's similar traits of our parents. And those triggers, and they trigger so that we can become conscious of that internal pain. So sometimes we may have a dad or a mother who's controlling. They may do it out of love. They may have gave you everything in the world. You may have had all the things in the world, but yet you wanted to be a doctor and they want you to be a lawyer. And so they made you go to law school. Or it's so many unsettled things that we do as parents. Even me, I think I was a phenomenal parent, but there was unsettled things that I made mistakes that I'm sure my children now have to heal from, because I was basically working out an unhealed state myself. But I wasn't abusive, but there was the times where I was dismissive because I didn't understand how to handle emotions. You ain't got time for that crying. We got to come on, get up, go. You know, if I had it overdue again, my children had an emotional, I would let them have an emotional breakdown. Let's talk about it. And let's honor that feeling right now. Let's journal it. Let's look it in his face. Not, we don't have time for that. We got to be successful. We got to get to this. And I was like that. So in turn, that can probably attract people who dismissive about their feelings. I'm just giving an example. It didn't mean I was a bad parent. It mean I was operating out of an unhealed space. So I'm going to say this again to you. Typically, we choose mates with similar traits of the parents we have the most issues with. They trigger us to become more conscious of our internal pain. I remember when I finally realized why I had attracted men who were emotionally unavailable to me. I used to think, what's wrong with me? Why was I lacking? What was I lacking that caused me to have a strong physical attraction but not connect with me emotionally? Like, what the? But I had to, y'all know, most of you all know my story. And I know this, and I'm going to say this to women, it's an ugly default reaction for us to internalize and doubt ourselves. More than men, we have a default language or a default reaction for us to internalize and doubt ourselves. But I had to ask for more clarity to become aware instead of resistant I wanted to become extremely clear as I sobbed for hours in the middle of my bed. Why was I attracting this same kind of men, same kind of things? It had nothing to do with my looks or my intellect. It had nothing to do with my height. It had absolutely nothing to do with curves or not curves or light or dark or what kind of hair. It had nothing to do with my physical. It didn't even have anything to do with my personality, but it had everything to do with my emotional and mental patterns. It was my programming. How many, I didn't have a dad, but some of us did have dads. And because some of our dads, men and women, doesn't matter. Men can have daddy wounds too. And most of our dads do have dad wounds. Because even if dads were present, a lot of our dads, now I didn't have a dad, but a lot of dads show up. My girlfriend had a phenomenal dad on the outside looking in. He would come and play backgammon and chess, but rarely did he go deeper. Did he take time to get beyond the superficial? He was physically present, but not emotionally available. So when you really think about that, he had the ability to be physically present, but not emotionally available, which caused my friend to have unworthy issues. The daddy wound prevents us from feeling anchored and worthy. You may even feel confused as you see other women feeling safe, secure, and conquering the world, while you shrink and settle for crumbs. See, these emotional states attract the men who keep us feeling unsafe and unmet. See, in order to attract high voltage or high-spirited men and women, it requires us to feel safe and protected and worthy. That's how we bring new, fresh, and vibrant people into our space. We do that by getting anchored into our own divinity. We're already whole. We're already beautiful. We're already amazing, men and women. And just think. You think about it from yourself as a woman, but think about men who had that same present daddy who was not emotionally available, because men have to be emotionally available. It's interesting. As parents, we teach our sons don't cry, but then we want them to be emotionally available for us. Men teach men don't cry. Women teach men don't cry. Don't be in your feelings. Don't act like a all the names that we call them, slap them in their faces and do all kind of things. You don't act like that. And then expect them to grow up and be men who are able to be men but yet feel. So you keep asking me why we keep yourself, you attracting from your emotional womb that you have. You created these womb contracts with these people, and now these contracts are coming to show you your own eternal pain. I'm going to leave you with this. Typically, we choose a mate with similar traits of our parents who we have the most issues with. They trigger you so that you can become conscious of your internal pain, your internal power, because your pain is your power. So the answer to your question, over and over again, you don't see yourself in your relationship. You don't see yourself in the person you attracted. No, you didn't go out there and say, I want an emotionally unavailable person, a lady or a man. I didn't go out there asking, I want this person in my life. You didn't go out there saying, I want this and that. And this person who has emotionally unavailable, who can't keep a job, can't even take care of their own responsibilities. But somewhere inside of you is an emotional contract, a wound contract, a W-O-U-N-D contract, a scar that you keep attracting from the wound, the scar. You're attracting from the scar.
It has nothing to do with your intellect, your looks, your height, your personality. Nothing. It has everything to do with the emotional. And what is emotions? Energy and motion. Energy is emotion. And energy is MC squared. Not only are you attracting yourself, but you're attracting yourself in an amplified state. That's my message for today. That's what I got up with this morning, and I just wanted to share my thoughts. Any questions, press 1 on the Blog Talk Radio. Any concerns, star 6 on Too much too deep, huh? Yeah. On this Friday. Star 6 on transformation. Charlie, I saw you open up the phone. I said, let me get you first before it get busy in there.
Praise the Lord. Yes, so phenomenal this morning. As one who has been through several relationships, that is one of the things that I had to dig deep on and say, there's a constant. There's a constant that I am in control of. The only constant that I am in control of is me. So how is this reflecting me? What is this energy? And once you start digging, like you said, you find the correlations with my father issues that I had, and they could do some real work. So it is a journey. It is being honest with yourself. It is being open enough with yourself to say, do I want to stop this pattern that I am allowing to happen because I am the only one I can change and grow? Or do I want to just stay stuck in this repeated pattern? So thank you for the conversation, and I am a witness. And I have mirrored it and have looked at it and am still growing through the things that I need to grow through. So I love you.
I love you too, Carmen. All right. Zakiya.
Good morning. Good morning, Lady Love. Good morning to the Love Journey family. Janine, you know, this is always a conversation that is perplexing to me at times about this whole attracting and from that wound space. So, and finding being attracted to someone based on that wound. So, what I have found in my experience, I always thought that. You know, you were talking about the people who said, the ladies who said that they had great, they were raised up great, they had great parents and all that. But I thought the same thing. I said, well, you know, my father was never violent, ever. And I remember asking him one time, Daddy, how come you never beat us? Because, you know, back in them days, you got whippings for real. Mommy took care of all that. And, you know, I don't remember, he said something about, well, if I had a date, you might not be here today or something like that. But my dad was never violent. He never yelled or screamed or any of that. So it was really hard for me to understand why when I chose relationships, even early relationships, that they turned out to be men that were, or guys that were, or, you know, were violent and so forth. And not all of them were, absolutely not. Some of them were just really nice. But one of the things I wanted to bring out is that sometimes when you can't see why it's showing up in this experience because that's not where you grew up, I remember Joel and Makwa and others that you have had come on the show talk about other lifetimes, beyond this lifetime. So we bring in things, you know, or we still resonate with things that we've had in other experiences in our life. And so sometimes that can also be a factor. I feel like sometimes the overthinking, at least for me, where I am in my life right now, is like, I don't even want to overthink that. I'd rather focus on okay, how can I create something different rather than why is it showing up? And I'm not saying that you can't do your work around that, because if you don't do your work around that, it's going to keep showing back up again. But I really want to, okay, so this is maybe the issue, this is how it came up, and how can I recreate that for myself today? And so now when I look at my relationships, I can see, okay, well, I can see that is definitely a part of myself. I was an angry mother when I was raising my children, so I can understand how, that's showing up in my children, in my son's life at least. But I just wanted to bring out the fact that sometimes it's not just in this lifetime that we get, have this experience come through. It is because of other things that we brought in from other lifetimes. At least that's what I have heard, and I think that that's true. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that thought up, and then just want to say thank you, because it definitely was an eye-opening conversation, and thank you so much for bringing it to us today. And have a great weekend. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Yeah, we do bring things in from other lifetimes, but pretty much things that need to be healed usually come from this lifetime, pretty much from our childhood. Yes, we do bring things in, but we come in to the planet in soul groups. So even in other lifetimes, those people that you experience other lifetimes with came into this lifetime, which when you all are still experiencing very similar processes. So, like, for instance, in my soul group, I'm talking about my mom, my sisters, and my children. Pretty much our soul group is very similar. My sister had some experiences similar to my mom. You know, rape ran rampant in our family, drugs. And that soul group all comes from the feelings of unworthiness. And I could see the pattern in my mom that started when I listened to her and I looked back over her life. I can see her feelings of unworthiness, which translated into my life, which translated in some of the things that choices that my children made because of the pattern. You know what I'm saying? And of course, it comes from other lifetimes, but the root is still right here in the beginning of our, when we was pregnant, when our mother was pregnant with us, into our childhood and stuff like that. So we can really trace it back. So even though your father may not been, he may not have been a physical abusive, maybe not even verbally abusive, but there was some energetic something that led you to attract unemotionally available men and attract it in a dope and amplified way. Something about your father, and it may not have been necessarily him as much as the story you told yourself. Well, my father don't love me because he doesn't do this with me. My father doesn't, and maybe because he didn't even know he should do that with you. Or my father, whatever story you was telling yourself became the pattern that became the wound that became what you attracted from. You see what I'm saying? No, he may didn't get you, and may he didn't. But the story you told yourself became the story that you lived about why your father wasn't maybe necessarily what you wanted him to be. Because we create these stories in our mind. How we want our parents to be. You know, like I created the story that I wanted my mother and I wish I had a father. And so I was always, you know, and I think I attracted a lot of times men, especially older men, because I wanted a father. I just wanted this idea of a father.
Well, I do remember absolutely having, wanting to have a different kind of relationship. I think that was definitely one of my biggest things with my dad, was that I wanted to be daddy's little girl. And my dad just wasn't, he didn't have that in him to, you know, to be that way. So I definitely understand how we can attract the emotionally unavailable, because my dad was definitely that for me, emotionally unavailable, just because he was, you know, he worked, he took care of his family, and that's the way he was raised, and that's what he thought he needed to do. So I never got the piggyback rides or, you know, going out for ice cream with daddy and, you know, things like that. So I understand why I have chosen relationships that have been emotionally unavailable.
the physical part, I still wrestle with. I still wrestle with that, but no, again.
So let's stop right there. Just stop right there, the physical part. Think about this. If a man is emotionally unavailable, so now remember, energy equals MC squared. MC squared is what? Mass times speed of light squared. So not only did you attract physically unavailable men, but you attracted in a heightened level. Because remember what God does, God gives us everything in abundance. So whatever we send out, we get it back in an abundance and more. Mm-hmm. So if you were thinking that men are wonderful men, you would have got that plus more. Because think, energy is MC squared, mass times speed of light squared. Mm-hmm. Not only did you get physically, your energy sent out physically unabusive, I mean physically unavailable, emotionally unavailable, but you sent it out and got it back amplified. Because that's what energy, that's what the universe sends, and that's what it is. That's what energy is. When we look at it from, and I'm just selling from scientific, and when you look at the third law of dynamics, physics is for every reaction, there's an opposite and equal reaction. If you look at energy, energy sends out energy, and energy comes back multiplied. So you sent out the emotional unavailable, multiplied. And I don't want to sound like, oh, this is our fault that, you know, that the man is beating our butt. It's our fault. I'm saying that there's work that we have to do to heal the energy. I'm not saying nobody should ever get their butt whooped by nobody. And we should, I'm not saying we should be getting, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying that these are the things that we have to do to heal those emotional wounds inside of us. And nobody deserves to be in no type of relationship that's not deserving of great love and all that beautiful stuff. And I'm not trying to make it your fault, like, oh, the kid is your fault. You didn't know no better. You didn't know what you was doing. None of us did. None of us knew what we was doing when we were getting in a relationship, because nobody taught us to clean up our energy and work and heal ourselves and elevate our energetic expression. We weren't taught that. Church didn't teach us that. They taught us to forgive. But we didn't really even know what that meant. Forgive, we'll turn the other cheek, and get your other cheek slapped and forgive again. What? But what I am, that we can create a different life today. I'm not blaming nobody. I'm not making it nobody's fault. But what I am saying is that we can create a different life. So it's not even, just like you said, it's not even about why you attracted that, but what was the lesson in those things so that you can't continue to create what you're creating today, which is a beautiful, amazing, ease and effortless relationship. Someone who loves, supports, and cares about you, who's emotionally available for you, who's emotionally, maybe they can't put you on their back and take you for ice cream, but maybe they can take you for a ride in their Bentley and get you some, make you some homemade ice cream or something. I don't know. Whatever you desire, you get to create it.
And may I just say this about that, Janine, because one of the reasons, the relationship I'm in now, he is so much like my dad. And so when we talk about how we marry our fathers, but really in a good way, because there was, you know, my father was a tender person. So I got that. You know, so some of the things that the qualities that really are good start to come out, because sometimes we look at what we didn't get, but we forget what we did get. And I know in doing my work around my dad, what I kept not understanding or not realizing and appreciating was who my father actually was. I kept focusing on what daddy didn't give me and I didn't have this, but what did he provide? And so I get to see more of that now, and I actually get to see more of that in my relationship, in my current relationship, when he shows up. Like, I'm like, Dad, you're just like my daddy. You chew just like my daddy. You know, you do this just like my daddy. And so I get to have that time of appreciation. So it's not so much, good morning, you know, the negative aspect of the relationship. So I just wanted to share that.
So what I want to say is not so much that you start to look at the appreciation of it as much as the work that you've done on the inside to change your energetic expression. You see what I'm saying? It's the work that you did. It's the work that you've been doing to heal and love and appreciate the kid to attract what it is the kid wants in her life. Because people treat you the way, so even if you appreciated all those things in your dad, but if you still didn't have those great things, you didn't see those great things in you, you still will continue to attract something you didn't desire. It's more about the work that you've done on yourself. See, our dad, our mom, our people that come in our lives are all just reflections for us to go in to do the work. The answer is us. You can appreciate your mom, you can appreciate your dad, but if you didn't appreciate you, you would still attract somebody who didn't appreciate you because it's how you treat yourself.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree with that because I treat myself much better today than I have ever in my life. And that's because I, you know, listen to you in the love journey, and I do my work, and I do my prayer work, and I start to really know why I'm here and what, you know, what my life is all about. And, of course, you know, when you're growing up, you don't really, you know, at least I didn't. Back in them days, there wasn't all this talk of how to take care of ourselves and how to honor ourselves and even how to love ourselves. I've never even heard that as a child. You know, you should love yourself and honor yourself. So, yeah, absolutely doing the work today. So change your mind, change your life. That's, you know, it sounds like a simple thing, but it really is. Change your mind and change your life.
Changing your energy, you change your life, really.
Change. Oh, that's
you
right. Change your energy. Yeah, that's so important.
Right, because your mind is just the seed that's planted. And sometimes we keep it there and we don't take it into the emotional part. So when we start to say our affirmation, but if we don't get that affirmation in our heart, we're not changing anything because the language of the universe is vibrational. Vibrational. It's the vibrations we send out. Even if I keep changing my thoughts in my mind, eventually it's going to change my vibration. But I got to work on my vibrational space. I got to change. I could say men are wonderful and men are amazing, but if my energy keeps telling me men ain't blah, 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 then guess what? Or women ain't blah, 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 then guess what I'm going to attract?
Okay, so thank you for all these good old questions. I always love your questions. Thank you. I don't want to, I hope you don't feel like I'm being
love
you or anything. Love you too.
Family, I just want to wish you a really phenomenal weekend. Remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love, 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 love. And remember, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. This is Mesa. Keep your head to the sky, family.
Causing anyone any pain.